broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right, welcome everybody to this week's episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, coming to you live from Boston, MA. That's right. That's me, right. It's Matt. Matt's in Boston.
Yeah, it's wicked awesome over here in Boston. I just I had a lobster roll and clam chowder for lunch, no joke.
Oh, man. That soup du jour, that's good stuff. Man.
It was good. It was, so I'm here on the road, you know, still connecting in. Of course, I have to get my weekly dose of the Refresh Wealth podcast. I'm actually out here speaking at a conference to a bunch of other attorneys, teaching them about self-directed IRAs. So pretty exciting stuff.
That sounds like a wild crowd. How many of you would like to speak to 200 attorneys in the room, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I got to figure out my jokes. You know, I don't know.
Good luck.
About do not give, power, you know, something like that.
Tip to the wise, do not tell an attorney joke. Yeah.
Oh, I've heard them all. Yeah.
Yeah. Attorneys don't like attorney jokes. They really don't. You spend way too much money for law school. You know, there's dirtbag lawyers out there. I just ran into one yesterday. But there's, you know what? There's crappy contractors. There's crappy plumbers. There's crappy. Why do attorneys get the bad rap? Maybe there's a higher percentage of a-hole attorneys compared to...
I think people get sued by them, you know, and then they get prosecuted by them. And even when they do have them to help them, they have to pay them a lot of money. So I guess it's I get it.
Yeah, you know, we should do a vote of the best looking attorney on the silver screen, like the coolest attorney. We should start doing some votes on that. In fact, I'm going to make a shout out. This is to our listeners. Now, I know next week's open forum. Okay, so here it is. For all of you listening this week, open forums next week, and we're going to put out a quiz. I may even put it on the newsletter. There we go. A quiz. Who's the best-looking lawyer on in the silver screen? Any movie. I'll tell you, and then we'll see who comes out. So you can email Matt at KKOS Lawyers or Mark at M-A-R-K-K-O-S Lawyers. And tell us who your vote is, and we'll tally the votes, and maybe we'll get a cameo appearance with them coming on the Refresh Your Wealth show, because, I mean, this is like the Today Show.
Hey, so we promise we will at least try.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll shoot our shot, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, let's think of, there's a lot of female lawyers, because, you know, when you're saying best looking, I'm...
We should do male and female. Oh, my gosh.
Let's do a best actor and actress as a lawyer. And but the actresses are more TV shows, I have to say, like Ally McBeal.
Well, I've already got my two votes.
Big one right now. Anyways.
Yeah. No, I've got my two votes. And do you have your votes? I mean, am I going to taint the?
Don't prejudice this. You know, people may want to just, you know, vote with you. Don't throw out your endorsement yet.
Oh man, I can't. I want to talk about it. I was like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm sure this is what people tuned in for, but.
Yeah. Okay. So our topic today. All right. I will save my, because I have my two votes right now.
Save it for next week.
I mean, okay.
It's a cliffhanger.
Okay. The cliffhanger. Okay. Okay. So the topic today. Death tax. Now, I know some of you are like, hey, I'm only tuning in for the weekly tax and legal tip because, you know, you guys, I love that stuff. And I have a lot of people that tell me that. Sometimes they don't like the topic of the week, but they tune in for the first 20 minutes to get the tax and legal tip.
Yeah.
But this death tax thing is a little bigger than just, I'm not worth millions. I'm not going to pay taxes. There's state issues and there's retirement plan issues. If you have a retirement plan, how is your family going to be taxed when they inherit it?
Yeah.
And And is it included in your estate? And all these little things, it's a big deal. So we're going to talk about it. So that's our topic for the day, which I think is a good one.
Yeah. And I think, you know, everybody jokes about death and taxes, you know, and this is one that, you know, these two concepts come together. And, but it's, it hits you in different ways. A lot of ordinary people can get hit with this. And so we want to talk about it. There's been some legal changes. If you have followed the laws to where the estate tax exemption is 22 million, but that's not everything you need to know. There's some little areas that a lot of regular people maybe with just a million or two sometimes get hit. So we're going to address those items and bring in retirement plans, because that's a usual suspect, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matt, I'm jealous you're out there in Boston. Have you been to Ben Franklin's grave yet?
No. Is that in Boston?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's on the little walking tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
We haven't hit that. I saw the Boston Massacre site, and what else do we see? We saw a couple sites. We didn't hit them all yet.
I think there's a historian listening right now that's cringing when Mark Kohler starts to pontificate. So I apologize in advance for my lack of knowledge, but I thought the Paul Revere, when he left the bar, he came running into town in the bar, and there's Paul Revere house.
We were by that. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I got that right. So Paul Revere came rushing into Boston.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That bullet from my old history teacher in high school.
Yeah. You didn't pay attention. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see the sites. So if you're new to the show, by the way, this is a show about tax and legal planning. We're out here for the entrepreneur, small business owner, those just trying to live the American dream. So we try to keep it light, because this is, let's be honest, it's tax and legal. It's not the most fun thing, but it's very important in your life, whether you like it or not. You know, having a good understanding of these concepts makes your life so much easier.
Yeah. I'm just in a jovial mood today. You're like wanting to drive through this topic. And I'm just like, I was listening to Scorpions before the radio show to kind of get pumped up.
Oh, okay. Scorpions.
Old 80s rock. Oh man. For you that are older, you know what I'm saying? A little Scorpion death.
What's the big Scorpion song? It's kind of like a ballad. It's like a rock song.
Yeah. That's the one I was listening to. And I was going to, it's Holiday. Holiday's good. And then I love Still Loving You, Send Me an Angel. They had good slow songs. For you, Send Me an Angel,
yeah.
Yeah,
oh, that was a great one.
It was. That was now, in the for movie, you younger folks, you got to dial into this. Give it a shot. I mean,
yeah.
It's sweet. Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, I got a good tax tip. You got a legal tip. You want to go first? I've been talking way too much. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll give the legal tip.
All right.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
Okay, today's legal tip, I want to talk about doing just a DBA or trade name for your business. So many of you who may be starting out in business, or maybe you've got the side business, side hustle going on right now, you're not going full after it yet, you're just testing the waters. Doing a DBA or trade name could be a great way to start branding your company, reserve your name, at least in your state or area where you're operating. And DBA stands for doing business as. Some states call it a trade name. Some states even call it a fictitious name. Every state, you know, has kind of put a different little label on it. But those three things are one and the same. And that's usually a pretty easy filing. A lot of times you can do it by yourself. I think we charge $150 or so in the law firm to do it for you. But that's called a DBA or doing business as. Again, a great way to get started. If you're not diving full in and you maybe don't have a lot of money to put in or start an entity yet, it's just a good way to get a name started, get some branding going, test the waters, and do it in an inexpensive, easy way. Now, one other thing I was just going to say on that. You may get a tax ID for your DBA or trade name. Maybe if you're going to start, maybe you're buying inventory and you need a sales tax ID to buy from like wholesalers and not pay sales tax. You might want a separate EIN for that. Maybe you're going to hire employees. You may want a separate EIN for that. Sometimes for banking purposes or loans, if you're going to get any loans or things like that, lines of credit going, you may want a separate business EIN under the trade name. So, but you don't have to. You can just use your social if none of those situations arise for you. But think of that trade name DBA as kind of baby steps as you're getting started in your business.
Well, Matt, I think that's a great tip. And the one thing I would add is that a lot of people think DBA is this new entrepreneur thing. Like, I'm starting a small business. It's the first thing you do. And once you incorporate or set up an LLC, you never think about it again. And I disagree. I think there's a lot of seasoned business owners that want to reserve a name because they might be developing a new idea or a new product. Think of it like a trademark for your state. And so when you go out on GoDaddy and you start searching to see what URLs available and DBAs, it's a good sense of, well, I'm gonna expand into another market. And these trademarks are critical. I think I've told you, I have a friend. He's not an old, didn't sound good.
He's a friend, he's an old guy.
He's not old either. I have a friend. I didn't mean to say had a friend like he disowned me. No, okay. I have a friend. In fact, he's been on our show. So I'm going to call him out, Todd Bates. And he's an attorney in Orange County, California. Now, Orange County is known as the nationwide mecca for IP law. And what I mean by IP is intellectual property, patent lawyers, trademark lawyers, and litigation and trademark. There's more lawyers in Orange County per capita than any other area of the country when it comes to IP, intellectual property. Anyway, what he does is all he does in his whole firm, and he's probably close to the same size as our firm's, kind of a small boutique, is manage people's trademarks. And he's got some big Fortune 500 clients. So like when Snickers comes out, I don't know if it's General Mills or whoever owns Snickers, whatever. He's told me the stories. It's kind of amazing. But like Snickers, they've got Snickers with peanuts, Snickers with almonds, dark chocolate Snickers, the mini Snickers, the mini this. He goes, there's like 20 versions of Snickers. And he goes, we trademark all those in the US. And then he goes, we don't want other people setting up operations in another country and stealing it. So he goes, I have 170 other countries. We manage those trademarks. So you take 170 times 20. He's like, that's a lot of trademarks that we have to manage. Well, the DBA is kind of like that. And so I'd like that, Matt, you bring this up because the small business owner, hey, if you're going to expand your business, you might want to lock down the DBA name in your state and then see how it goes. Maybe you trademark it. Maybe you go international. I don't know. You know, if you're big as Snickers. But anyway, I think the DBA is not a concept for the brand new business owner. It really is something a lot of people use.
Yeah. Yeah, great point. And I think a lot of businesses, as they develop and grow, they have different products or services and want to do a little bit different branding. And a DBA is a great option to do that. And then the trademark too is the other step. If you're like, hey, this is nationwide, maybe I'm web-based or e-commerce, or I'm operating in multiple states. You can obviously, of course, go with the federal trademark, and we help with all those services here.
Cool. I like it when you talk because I can eat my donut here. So I'm just going to mute the line when you're talking.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I've kind of fallen off the wagon.
I bill by the hour, so I've learned how to talk.
Okay, you just
longer than I need to.
I mean, I dropped 25 pounds the beginning of this year. Back up 10. I just off the wagon.
I wonder what it is. I mean, there's some clue you just dropped a moment ago. Donut. Donut. You're eating a donut.
Donuts may be the problem. Yes, fair enough. Fair enough. Matt, you may be onto something there.
I mean, I'm not a detective or anything, but.
Do you listen to what you just said? Okay. All right. Well, I've got a sweet tax tip. Here we go.
By the way, you should re-listen. You should record yourself and go back and listen to what you said.
I love that.
It's a bias. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for you Arrested Development fans, oh, that's a good one.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. So here's our tax tip. Now, because we've been on such a upper mood here, I'm going to bring us down to the topic of divorce. It's so hard. So emotionally draining and financially draining, spiritually draining. It's just tough. And I haven't been through divorce. I've got, you know, anybody that's been married more than 5 years has certainly contemplated divorce at the least. But I have so many friends and clients that we've helped through the situation. Now, we're not divorce attorneys, but we're tax attorneys. And taxes play a role in the divorce process in a big way. And some of you may be thinking, man, I was just worried about getting the kids, or how much alimony am I going to pay, or child support, or how much alimony am I going to get? And is my spouse screwing me over? I mean, and then you're going to bring taxes into the mix? Regrettably, yes. So this is a word to the wise. And with the divorce rate over 50% nationwide, there's a good chance someone's listening here that might be going through divorce, contemplating it, or just through it. So that's what this tip's about. So yesterday, We have a friend, my wife and I, that was over, and you know, since I'm a tax guy, the tax topic comes up once in a while, and friends are like, "Hey, can I bring this up?"
Got a quick question.
Got a quick question. You know, that's why I stay away from family reunions. I'm like, I'm in, I'm out, you know, because yeah. It's just like I set up a table like Lucy and Linus, you know, and Peanuts, you know, and I'm just answering questions there at a little booth. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the knowledge I have in this area. And it's so expensive for some people to get quick answers. That's why we do the show. We're here for you, peeps. Yeah. Open forum next week. So anyway, she said, the divorce, is almost final, but we had to file our taxes for 2018. And her ex ran into his accountant and had the accountant prep the taxes. Meanwhile, she, unbeknownst to her, she went, that he was doing this, she went and did her taxes. She didn't make any money last year. She's a stay-at-home mom, great lady. He's a professional. I'll leave it at that because I've got, you know, some listeners maybe in this area. I've got to be careful what I say. So we'll just leave it at that. And he made all the money last year. Well, their accountants got pretty creative and started jamming some income onto her return and splitting the income up. And it's going to screw her up for getting now grants for her kids to go to college because she has full custody. So her kids can maybe more easily qualify for a grant or student loans. She also needs to get health insurance now, and her tax return shows her making more money. Well, he calls her up and goes, yeah, I did your tax return and this and that. Or the accountant's called up and said, you need to come get it. She's like, I already got it done. Anyway, the divorce decree, and here's the tip of the day. The divorce decree was not clear on how the taxes were to be filed in the first couple of years because there's a transition. Now, a lot of times it'll say, whoever has the kids gets to claim the deductions for the exemptions or the standard deductions for the kids, the dependents, you know. And but if you have joint custody, you might split that up. You might be creative in the way you allocate some of the write-offs. Maybe someone's paying the house payment and who gets the interest deduction. And see, all this is, you can see now where it can get a little muddy. So here's my tip is that, and I apologize for giving you one more thing to deal with in the process when you're emotionally drained, is if your divorce attorney does not understand taxes, do not let them draft that part. Get your accountant involved. And that's what happened here. She goes, well, my attorney just said, well, whatever, his accountant's going to run with it. This is going to have a multi-year impact to her and her kids when it comes to several factors because they're doing her return for her. And she, under coercion and pressure, she went and signed it. And that's what I'm trying to unravel now for her. But this is, it's really tough because this has a tail. And some people, like a tail wags the dog. You know, the dog may be out the door, but the tail isn't. And this tax issue can hit you in the kneecaps or, you know, in the shins on the way out. And so you've got to be really cautious of the tax issue. And one last tip. Before the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed January 1st of 2018, if you paid alimony, you got a tax deduction. And then the spouse that received the alimony would claim it as income. Well, after 2018, any new divorces in 2018 and moving forward for the next 5 to 6 years until Congress readdresses this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the payer of alimony does not get a write-off, and the person receiving it is it is tax-free income. So what they're trying to do is push the person that's paying alimony to pay the taxes. And they're going to generally be in a higher bracket because they may be making more money. And this was the IRS's strategy or Congress's strategy when they were trying to make all this balance. So the payer of alimony now doesn't get a write-off. They have to pay taxes on the alimony and the person receiving it gets it tax-free. Well, when you're negotiating alimony, you want to address this, right? If you're paying alimony, you want to say, whoa, I've got to pay taxes on that first. You don't. So let's bring down the alimony a little bit. Because it's tax-free to you. 2 years ago, you'd pay taxes on it. So again, that's another tax issue that needs to be addressed in some of the negotiations. Anyway, big topic. Just wanted to bring up divorce and taxes, two wonderful topics everybody wants to talk about. Woo!
Yeah, wait, man, you know, we managed to cover all of the most depressing things out there.
Yeah.
Divorce, taxes, and now death.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So, you know, for those still listening to the show.
Boy, this is a... We do have to ham up this show because death, divorce, and taxes. Wow.
Yeah. It's a
triple hitter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's triple something. That was a good tip. Really important. That's a big topic, and but one that's critical, you know, and like you said, there's a lot going on at that time. It's hard to keep it all straight, but really important tip because that will come to haunt you every year as tax returns are coming due.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we get into this death tax and planning strategies, thinking of retirement accounts too? I don't know what we're going to title this, but death taxes and retirement plans? I don't know.
Well, I know you want to get retirement plans into it, but I was already coining this as, are death taxes still alive?
Ooh. Okay.
There's
some secret ones.
Yeah.
There's some secret killers in there.
Yeah. So, okay, let me set the stage and then Matt, I'm going to have you talk first. But let me set the stage because I've been yapping quite a bit today's show. So here's the point. And many of you, now stay with me before you get off this show because some of you again think this does not apply to you. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize it and I make this point in a really simple manner. When you die, when your grandpa and grandma die, when your mom and dad die, see, I want you to know this stuff for the people you may be inheriting something from too, because you could be a big help in the situation because you might get less if you don't deal with this. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you die, the IRS takes a picture, click, and everything in your estate is added up and then there's a tax. Now, over the years, over the last 15 years, there's been a lot of changes. Almost every other year, there's been a change. Yeah. Because wealthy people hate this tax. They work their whole life paying taxes to build wealth. And then when they give it to their family, they got to pay tax again. And we're talking taxes of about 40 to 50% when you add up state and federal. So what they've done in the past is they give an exemption amount that says, okay, take the picture. Then we're going to minus some exemption that you can leave to your family tax-free. But everything above that, we're going to tax. When I started as a tax attorney 20 years ago, the exemption was around 500 grand. I think anything over 500 grand was taxed at 50%. And people would lose the proverbial family farm because they had to sell it to pay the taxes. Well, then it went up to 750. Then it went up to a million. Then it was unlimited for a year. And George Steinbrenner, the Yankees, died that. Was George Steinbrenner? I'm embarrassed.
It was. Still? Yeah. Steinbrenner. Okay. You got it.
Hold that up. I pulled that out
from watching Seinfeld.
Yeah, I was going to say that saved me. But George Steinbrenner died with millions the year it was exempt, and his family got all the money tax free. Couldn't believe it. But then anyway, it came back, and it has been up and down. And now under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it's up to 11 million. So the GOP and Trump have said, hey, if you anything over 11 million, you're going to get taxed on. And if you're married, we can do some strategic planning to protect both of your exemptions so that you're not paying taxes if you're worth more than 20 million. I mean, less than 20 million. Okay. Now I know many of you are about ready to turn your radio off. You were like, well, I'm not worth 20 million, but hold on. This is where it gets crazy. 12 states say, cool, federal government, you do your thing, but we're still taxing you. And the state estate tax can come in and bite you in the butt and you didn't even know it. You'll be dead, but it'll bite your family's butt. and no one knew. And I want to read these states off and then I'm going to introduce Matt Sorensen on a big topic here. So let me just tell you the states: Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, where Matt's at right now, Minnesota, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Vermont. And Matt, you're going to be in Rhode Island this weekend. This is a big deal.
Yeah, maybe I'm hitting two of those states. I mean, only two I'm going to, both have an estate tax.
That's okay, just, so let me say how practically this makes sense. So when you die, the IRS and the state, that's the kicker, the state will take a picture as well. Do you have life insurance? Do you have an IRA? Do you have a 401k? Do you own a home? Do you have a rental property? Minus your debts, what is your net worth? Well, from the Fed's standpoint, if you're in Rhode Island and you make more, if you're worth more than 11 million, no one cares. That's cool. You're off to the races. You're good to go. But if I'm in Rhode Island and then they're going to do their little analysis and they're going to say, oh, well, we took the same picture and you're worth more. Well, their exemption is only 1.5 million. So anything above that could be taxed anywhere from 5 to 15%. And that's where all the states end up. So even if you have a Roth IRA, it could still get taxed under Rhode Island estate tax. So this gets to be a big deal. So that's the estate tax topic that I want to kind of cover, is how do we deal with this? What are some options? And if you're in one of these 12 states or have property in one of those 12 states, what do we do? But what's interesting is I set the stage there for Matt Sorensen, because again, your retirement accounts are part of that picture and they're going to be included for estate tax. But guess what? A lot of times, unless you have a Roth IRA, your family's going to get taxed at their rates when they receive their retirement income that you earned during your life. Mm-hmm. And so, Matt, you tell them what it's called and run with it. Did I tee that up for you? I was trying to tee it up. It's T-ball season. I thought this was it.
Yeah. You know, that's the silent killer, I think, of the death taxes, is this retirement plan tax that, for those of you that have traditional accounts, okay, don't worry if you're Roth yet. We're going to talk about some of these. But for those with traditional dollars, when you inherit a traditional account, you're going to pay tax when you pull the income out. So your heirs are going to be paying this tax as it comes out. So, and because of that, there's a lot of strategy that goes into that. It's not an estate tax. It's just a tax on the income as your heirs are pulling it out. So we want to think of some things like maybe Roth conversions. If you're at a lower income rate while you're, you know, older in retirement, then your kids may be. Maybe you convert to Roth and let your kids inherit Roth accounts totally tax-free. Best thing to inherit. If you could tell me, look at an estate and say, what asset do you want that's $1 million in any estate? I would say the Roth IRA. If there was a Roth IRA on the table, I would take the Roth IRA over
the home, over the boat, over the cars, over everything.
Over the stock, Apple worth $1 million that day in a personal account, any day, you take the Roth IRA, because that thing can grow and continue to grow tax-free. You can continue to invest it. You can continue to stretch it out, and you're not paying taxes. You pull the money out. Now, contrast that with the traditional, though. Remember, when I inherit the traditional, yeah, I get to stretch it out, and I can take it out over time, over my life expectancy as inheriting the account, and that's cool, and it's all tax-deferred. But as I'm pulling money out, I am still getting taxed. So, and that's, as many people know, that's a big difference between the Roth and traditional. But when you inherit that, a lot of people forget that. They're like, well, I got my parents' IRA, or I got a piece of it. And they think, well, I inherited it. There's no taxes on this, right? Nah.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
Start pulling the money out.
Yeah. And the term is, everybody out there, is IRD. It's called income in respect of a decedent. See, it was your parents' income, but you received it, and they're deceased. So you received it in their behalf. So you've got to pay tax on it. Mom and dad would have paid tax on the IRA. Now that you received it, you've got to pay tax on it. And you're like, damn. Now I'll come back to estate tax. That, again, that's, they're totally different. So this IRD, I love, Matt. Okay, now let's just talk. Oh, there's so many freaking strategies here. I love this. So let's say, Matt, let's come back to the Roth. So let's say I have a traditional IRA and I'm a spouse. What happens there? And my spouse dies, I inherit the traditional IRA. What can I do?
Mm-hmm. That is an easy one. Okay. It's called a spousal rollover. Your wife dies, you inherit the IRA. It just becomes an IRA in your name. Easy. That's the best option. Because it's called a spousal rollover. It just goes directly into an account in your name. So you can convert it now to Roth if you want. Obviously, you're going to pass it on to your heirs when you die, but it becomes an account in your name. It's not an inherited account. Yeah. You can do what's called a spousal rollover.
And you're going to pay tax just as you and your spouse would have if he or she was still alive.
With a traditional,
And it's called IRD, income in respect of a decedent, but you rolled it over into your IRA and you can do whatever the freak you want with it. And you don't have to take it out at any pace. You can just run with it.
Yeah. Just like any other IRA, like the existing IRA you already may have, you could even roll it into that. It's just, it's your IRA.
Now,
for spouses, that's unique for spouses.
Okay. Now let's say my mom dies. And I just talked to my mom yesterday. I gave her a call on the way home from work. I try to be a good son and call her once a week. And I was talking with her. My mom has an IRA and it's a traditional. And in preparation for the show, I was thinking, I might want to do something here. So anyway, we're going to give you that strategy. Yeah. But anyway, my mom has an IRA. If my mom dies, Matt, and I inherit her IRA, what are my options?
Okay. Now you will get an inherited IRA. You can't do the spousal rollover, but you can get what's called an inherited IRA and you're going to have two options. Now your mom's over 70 and a half, right? Yeah. So she would have already had to start taking RMD on this. So option one, there's sometimes an option one of what's called a five-year withdrawal rule. Option one's off the table for you. The five-year rule, which allows you to pull the money out over a five-year period. You don't have to start taking it year one, year two, year three, year four, or five. You just have to get it all out within 5 years. Okay. When you inherit an IRA, that's off the table for you because she's over 70 and a half. Okay. So, but for those, let's say she was 65, you would be able to inherit it and you could say, all right, I'll do the five-year rule and I'll pull it out within 5 years, or I'll take, you know, one fifth out over 5 years. I'll do everything all at the end of 5 years, you know, whatever. You can do whatever the heck you want.
Now let's hold there. Now, and what you want to do, folks, is meet with your accountant and go, what tax bracket am I in? Because if you take too much, it might put you in a higher bracket for getting taxed on a different rate. So you want to kind of meet with your accountant before you're in. And these withdrawals have to be done before December 31st.
Yeah.
And so you want to say, okay, how much am I going to take? What's it going to do to my overall tax impact? And be strategic over those 5 years. But I don't get to do that. My mom's over 70 and a half. So what do I have to do?
Okay. Now your option is, which is actually the better one, is you can do the stretch IRA. So you get the inherited IRA and you're going to distribute it over your lifetime. So now over your lifetime, you know, I mean, man, you got at least 20 more years to live, Mark.
Thank you. Is that good or bad?
I mean, according to the IRS, you got maybe 45 years or so. That's kind of the life expectancy they give you on the table. So you're going to stretch that out and you will take required minimum distributions each year. This will start the year following the year of your mom's death. So if she passed away in 2019, you're going to need to start doing this in 2020.
Okay.
And just do it by December 31st of 2020. So, and that's how it'll work. Now, you know, you might be taken out. If you inherit a $100,000 account, you might be taking $1,500 a year out, you know, 2000. It's not a lot. But the cool thing is, even if this is traditional, and you can do the same thing with Roth, even if it's traditional, the account is stretched out over your lifetime. So that other 98,500, if you took a distribution of 1500 for RMD, that other 98,500 is still reinvesting and you probably made more than $1,500. So it's still growing and you're pulling out some income as you go. You can take more if you want. You know, if you're like, hey, I want to take 10% out now, I got to pay for some kids' school, or I'm, you know, I don't know, you're whatever, you're paying off taxes or bills or whatever you're doing in your life. You can pull more money out as you need.
Now, I will pay taxes on when I pull it out, but no penalty.
Exactly.
So yep, what's interesting, I might have an IRA in my life. I'm not 59 and a half yet. If I pull it out, I got to pay a 10% penalty and tax. Mm. If my mom dies and I have her inherited IRA, I can take out what I want when I want because she's over 70 and a half. That's a side note that I wouldn't have said is that you're actually better off if your parents live longer after 70 and a half. You get a better IRA option.
Yeah. Now everyone can do the stretch. Even if, you know, she died at 65, you can still do the stretch.
Oh.
It's just for the reason that 5 year rule is only available if they have not started RMD yet.
Okay. Okay. All right. So it actually, so you're not penalized if your parents die earlier, you just get an extra option. So I looked at it wrong. See, this is good. I learned something on the show every week. Listening to you, Matt, I'm not kidding. I love that. So I'm going to repeat that for everybody. If my mom or dad dies before age 70 and a half, mm-hmm. I get the extra option of doing a 5 year payout and I have to check the box. I have to say, that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
And I have to take out all the money within 5 years at any pace I want. I pay tax, but no penalty. If they're 70 and a half or older, my only option is to stretch it out over my lifetime, which isn't bad either, but I just don't get the 5-year option.
Yep, exactly.
Which really, if I take it out earlier, you almost get the 5-year option because I can take it out at any pace I want.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. And that's why if you don't know, just do the stretch. Yeah. The reason some people will do the 5-year is, let's say for whatever reason, it's not liquid. And so you have to take RMD. If you start the stretch, you have to take an RMD the year after and you can't take it out yet. You might want the 5-year because within 5 years you could say, well, I don't take it out. Let's say the IRA owned real estate, for example. And you're like, well, I can't sell it. It's not a good market to sell, but I could sell it within 5 years. So if there's no other cash in there to pay it, you might say, well, I don't want to take the stretch because I got to take RMD for 5 years and I'm not going to have cash to do the RMD and I could be in a problem. You know what I mean? Whereas the 5-year rule, I don't have to take anything. I can, but I just have to have the whole thing out within 5, but I could wait till year 5 to take it all out.
I hope you guys are getting this. This is cool. Now let's add a twist before we even get to the Roth. So let's say my mom lives in Illinois or Hawaii or New York, one of these 12 states.
Yeah.
Her IRA is worth $1 million. Now, now the exemption, I've got to figure out, most of the exemptions in these states hover between $1 million and $5 million. A lot of them are $2 million. All right. So let's just say my mom's IRA is worth $2 million.
Yeah. Hawaii's like $5 million, I believe.
Yeah. So it's all over the board. Vermont's 2.7, Washington State's 2.1 million. But let's just say my mom's IRA is worth
$2 million. 1 million, by the way. That's the scary one. Oregon.
Oh, what's Oregon at? Sorry about that. 1 million.
Oregon, 1 million.
Yikes. Okay. So let's use Oregon as an example. This is a good one. And this is, and by the way, some of you are thinking, man, I wish I had 100 grand in my IRA. Folks, you stay dedicated. You will have $1 million in your Roth IRA. Did you watch my YouTube video? Just type in YouTube, Kohler 1 million Roth, and watch that video. I show you how you can have $1 million in your Roth and it'll blow your mind. So many of you think this is pie in the sky conversation. It's not. You can do this. Mm-hmm. So let's say my mom has a $2 million IRA. Well, and she lives in Oregon. We'll go with Oregon. So she lives in Oregon, $2 million IRA. Well, the first million's exempt. And then she's going to get estate taxed of $1 million. And so if it's 15% at that rate, I'm going to say 10%. Let's just go ballpark. I don't have the Oregon table in front of me. It's going to be between 5 and 15. So work with me, people. This is an example. Let's say it's 10%. My mom's estate is going to have to write a check to Oregon for $100,000. Now that makes people sick when they write out a check for 100 grand in taxes. So we don't want to pay that 100 grand. So that's a bummer. But see, even though I could stretch out the IRA, I've got to pay the 100 grand in tax. So I've got to find that 100 grand from the home equity, life insurance, or somewhere to pay that tax, or I've got to take out 100 grand out of the IRA to pay the tax. Oh, but I took out 100 grand, so I get taxed on that 100 grand next year. Well, I don't have the tax for that, so I got to take out money for that tax next year. And it's kind of like this circular little thing that you're taking out money every year to pay the taxes when you could have done a little planning at the front end. So that's where it gets tricky, is because you got this income in respect of a decedent that's that silent killer, and you may have state estate tax or state death tax to deal with too. So you've got to think through this. So Matt, could I throw out an idea? Here's my strategy. So if my mom has, what I could do is say, to get around, let's do two different strategies here. To get around the income in respect of a decedent, if I inherited that money from my mom in a Roth, I don't pay IRD, right? So why don't I go to my mom and say, hey, mom, you've got this $2 million Roth. $2 million traditional. Let's convert this to Roth. And she's going to be in a lower tax bracket than me. And I could chunk at it. So it's in lower brackets, and let's do it over 4 or 5 years. Let's chunk at it piece by piece. And start.
By the way, you're taking other cash out of her estate to pay it, which lowers her estate value.
Yeah. And I'm converting it to Roth. at her tax rate, even if I give mom some money or I loan mom money to pay it, and then she forgives the loan when she dies or something like that. And this is how wealthy families keep money in their family and in the estate, is they do these little plans over 5 to 10 years. As soon as mom and dad turn 60, 65, 70, they're dragging them into the office. And this happens to us all the time. We get on joint conference calls with the family and say, okay, what are we dealing with here? And what can we do? And it could save me that $100,000 to do a little bit of planning. And I could get the Roth IRA at a much lower tax rate because I'm going to be at a higher tax rate than her. Anyway, I'm just throwing out ideas. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think the converting to Roth is a great idea, even for those older, if they're really looking at their kids inheriting their account. It can be a extremely valuable tool. And why not, particularly for in one of these states that has an estate tax, use that cash in your estate to pay the tax now, convert it, lower your estate value to help you get under it. And then, you know, again, you're at a lower tax bracket. It's a much more valuable asset to be passing on. A lot of people will say, well, I'd rather use the money I've got to fix up my house and I'll let my kids inherit a house that's nice and remodeled. I mean, that sounds cool and nice today, but honestly, I mean, I'd rather that my parents converted their account to a Roth, right? Yeah. That's much more valuable.
Yeah. No. And if you go to your family and say, hey, mom, I'll help you pay the tax to convert this to a Roth, you're going to be better off down the road. You're prepaying the tax now, but at mom's rates, instead of inheriting this traditional and paying it at your rates. And once you get that inherited Roth, oh my gosh. Okay, Matt, tell everybody what's cool about an inherited Roth.
Yeah, so the inherited Roth, once you inherit that account, it's like this tax-free ATM, because all the money you're making in the Roth, you don't pay tax on. You still get to keep investing it, but now you get to pull the money out whenever you want, and it's stretched out over your lifetime. So if you want to take out 100 grand, just take it out. It's an inherited account. Pull it out whenever you want. There's no early withdrawal penalty if you're not 59 and a half yet. It's an inherited IRA. So money comes out tax-free whenever you want it. If you want to keep deferring it for as long as you can, just keep investing it. It's growing tax-free, coming out tax-free. Really, really, it is the last way left to make money and keep all of it in the USA.
Yeah. No, it's so powerful. I'm going to pull a little parallel here, and we need to talk about this on another podcast radio show. But for any of you with kids under age 18, the state thing can also blindside you. For example, the federal government, here's an example of how the state, we always think about the federal taxes, but we don't think about the state. And this is what happened to a number of our clients last year. And I've had to remember to bring this up in my workshops and talk about it more. So let's say you're paying your kids under age 18. Everybody that's ever heard our show knows we love to do that. Get your kids involved in your business, rental property, whatever it is, and pay your kids for their help in the business. You don't have to withhold SUTA, FUTA, FICA, or workers' comp. Only in Washington State you have workers' comp. It's weird. But you've got to pay your kids, and they don't pay taxes now, federal taxes, up to $12,000. That's the standard deduction. That's a big deal. So they don't pay any federal taxes on the first $12,200 adjusted for inflation each year for the next while. So that standard deduction is a big deal. But we forget that a lot of the states don't mirror that $12,000. Like in California, the standard deduction for a kid might be $4,000 or $5,000. I'm embarrassed right now. I should look that up real quick. And so what happens is, we get out of this, the federal tax, and you're like, oh, my kid doesn't even have to file a federal tax return because they're below the standard deduction. But in California, they're going to have to file a state tax return and pay some tax. Here it is. I was close. $4,401. So that standard deduction, anything I pay my kids over that, they're going to have to pay state tax on. So this is where, again, I know a lot of you hate this, but it's just not worth trying to play around on LegalZoom and TurboTax when you're making big money. Let the professionals do what they're good at. Get them on a phone call twice a year, strategize, plan, have a punch list of conversational topics, and this kind of stuff can be avoided.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Ooh, man.
man, he's right.
That was a lot of, man, you went from divorce and obviously taxes to death, retirement accounts, paying your kids.
Man, the full gamut.
Full spectrum today. Full spectrum. So it was a combo package today.
Yeah, like what is that? American Ninja Warrior? I went from the, you know, jump over the water yeah. to the, you know, all those different, they have such cool names for these.
Climbing up the net.
Yeah. I'd just like to be on the writer's team to just like name the different, you know, yeah. challenges they have to go through. The Terminator, the yeah. Bicep Ripper, the, you know, whatever. Yeah. They have all these names, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, the future job. Maybe you could do that job in retirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
okay. Matt, I think we need to get back to our topic earlier on in the show. And mm-hmm. that is, we've got to make this multiple choice. I think if we're going to go and we got to be clear on our criteria. This is the best looking, you know,
looking. Okay. All right. The best looking. Okay.
Not all the right. best actor.
Okay. This is a very important thing. Okay.
Yeah. Best two different looking. Things. Yeah.
Okay.
Because what do they have? The sexiest man alive, the sexiest woman alive, whatever, okay. right? And hey, I don't know who does that.
Is it? I'm not going to stop you. Okay. I don't know. Good question. People? Yeah. People magazine?
Is it People? Yeah. So we're going to do, and I don't know if I want to say sexiest, but...
best looking. That's
best like looking, that. You know.
Okay.
Chris so Hemsworth won last year. So that was it. Okay. So... I've got to go to throw out a few names here because I'm going to tell you, I've got my male and female ready to go.
Okay. All right. Let's hear the lineup.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have a huge man crush on Matthew McConaughey. So
Lincoln Lawyer.
So there's so many. I mean, he is freaking awesome. So,
okay.
I think Matthew McConaughey has got to be there. Now I know there's the old and the young. You got to choose your actor or actress at their prime, okay. you know, like, in this movie, they freaking rocked it, you know, and that, yeah. so that's Matthew McConaughey for me. And my female is Rosamund Pike. You know where I'm going with that one? Do you know her? Rosamund Pike?
No.
Okay. She was the prosecutor in Jack Reacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's pretty.
She's the defense lawyer. She's the defense lawyer.
She was the defense lawyer. I'm sorry. The defense lawyer. Her dad was the prosecutor. So Rosamund Pike played the defense lawyer in Jack Reacher. And I thought she was gorgeous in that. She looked great. I'm going to probably lean that way, you know. But, I mean, we've got Tom Cruise. I mean, a few good men. A lot of people think Tom Cruise is the younger Tom Cruise is really good looking. My wife is a fan of the volleyball scene, Top Gun. Oh, did you hear they're remaking Top Gun?
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise is in it too. There's a cameo. So
okay.
Yeah. Okay, right. So anyway, do you have any votes for people?
Okay, yeah. So I was going to go, and I was just looking up the name of the actress, but I'm going to go John Travolta, A Civil Action. Oof. You right throughout the... Tom Cruise, A Few Good Men, but you could do Tom Cruise also in The Firm.
You know, yeah.
Another good role.
Yeah. Did you have a female vote?
I think that's a real life story. Now on Law and Order, I was trying to think of the name. I want to say Angie Harmon, but it's the female prosecutor on Law and Order. Angie Harmon.
Yeah.
She was the one. She's on for a long time. There you go.
Well, hold on. You went to TV. I thought we were doing movies.
Oh. I don't really movies. I mean, you got Demi Moore in A Few Good Men. I'll give you that one.
There
you
go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I could do that. You know, it's so funny. She is so pretty, and then her and her husband, they have kids, and you're like, Bruce Willis, Demi Moore. It didn't work. You know, not a good mix. So. I shouldn't even say that. That's so rude because there's someone, you know, we're going to have to cut that. I feel bad.
They're not going to come on the show now. So that's.
Yeah, they were slated for the show and now they're dropping. Okay. Well, obviously some people love our banter and us screwing around. Some people hate it. You're just here for the technical tips and strategies. I think we've thrown down today quite a bit. I'm writing an article right now on death taxes. Are they still alive? Are death taxes still alive? And so you'll be able to read that on the blog in the newsletter in upcoming weeks. We appreciate everybody listening. We try to have fun. How can we not cover some fun topics here to spice it up a little bit when we're dealing with divorce, death, and taxes?
Ugh.
So Matt, yeah. Take us out. Rally yeah. the troops here. Let them know how great it is to listen to the show, even when we joke around aimlessly.
Yeah. Well, if you are still listening, of course, thanks for staying with us, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you listen to us on. We really do appreciate that. And it does help people find the show. Make sure you're signed up for the newsletter. We're writing blog articles weekly, have tax tips, deadlines. You can access, go to refreshwealth.com to sign up for that. And don't forget, we got the open forum show, which are we doing next week? Open forum next week?
Open forums next week.
Okay, open forum next week. You'll be able to call in live with questions, which you can get the call-in number if you're signed up for the newsletter. And also you can email Mark, M-A-R-K, or Matt, M-A-T, at both of us at kkoslawyers.com. And you can send in your questions there. We'll read those ones off on the show via email.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.